bum 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 bum. Bum 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 bum.
Baby girl, where you at? Got no strings, got none attached. Can't stop that feeling for long, no. You're making dogs wanna beg, breaking them off your fancy legs. But they make you feel right at home now. Oh. See, all these illusions just take us too long. And I want it bad. Because you walk pretty, because you talk pretty, because you make me sick. And I'm not leaving till you're leaving. I watch where there's something when she's pumping, asking for a raise. Well, does she want me to carry her home now? So does she want me to buy her things on my house?
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We are back yet another time because we can't get enough.
What we say. Mowgli.
Would you say Mowgli?
Mowgli.
Oh, Mowgli.
Mowgli. Not.
We
yes,
need Mowgli. So we can stuff stuff.
We can yay.
Yeah. I was watching the Jungle Book. And
someone needs to send us a clip from the first episode of when Emma Pillsbury did that, so we could like put it in. We could yay.
Oh, I would think you'd be able to find that, Ed.
Yeah.
Oh, I could do it, but. Fine, I can do it myself.
You can outsource. I don't mind. I'm not.
Yeah, you can outsource.
Cool. You're like, Ed, you can handle it. Fine, I can do the work myself.
No, I'm just saying you would know exactly where it was. Because
probably like 20 minutes in.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Well, we opened up with a little When I Get You Alone with lead vocals by Darren Criss, who is our topic of conversation this week. I was talking to our friend Michael. We had Michael in town last week.
Is that at Ren Mike?
Yes, Ren Mike D. Our listener Michael last week. And I was saying, what does the Firefly podcast talk about all of these weeks? Because there's still today, I guarantee there's a Firefly podcast.
Well, I know for a little bit, the big Firefly podcast, like they did a whole like screenplay that they acted out. So.
Oh my gosh.
Are you serious?
So though that takes time.
And I think like we are killing ourselves to vamp about Glee things to talk about, and we've had 3 weeks.
I don't think we're killing ourselves. I don't think so at all. Apparently you're not asking me because I have ideas.
Well, we will definitely get into some of those because we're gonna have a nice long summer break. Vamp.
Okay, but is there a new show next week?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
The 19th there is a new show. Yes,
so, and it is titled Ed.
Now you're making me sad because I knew this. It was like Night of Neglect. Night of Neglect. Final answer.
Okay.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited because Gwyneth Paltrow is going to be back in it, and she's going to be doing an Adele song, and they haven't announced what song it is.
I know.
So I came in to spoil it, but I'm excited.
Yeah. So. I saw that they were speculating on what it would be on the internet, but okay, so we have a show next week. And then how many shows before they break for the summer? How many episodes?
Well, this is episode 17, mm-hmm. and the season's only going up to 22. So 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. So six. There's only 6 episodes in our future.
Okay.
Really? I thought season 2 was going to be 28.
No, they were going to make it 24. But now they've decided that for several episodes, they're just going to extend them. Like, the Born This Way episode is going to be 90
hour
minutes.
And a half, yeah.
Interesting.
And the speculation is that the season finale is also going to be 90 minutes.
Wow.
So
good for them, bad for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, 6 is more than I thought we were getting. So
that's true.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Well, that'll be fun. I hope that they've run them in sequence. It would mean the world to me.
Okay, let's get
with
real. There's going to be at least one break for at least
right.
1 week for one for real.
They're going to make up something.
4 in a row.
They'll have like an American Idol special event or something. They'll have to take off time so that we can do this. Idol gives back. I don't think they're doing that this year.
I think they gave up on that. I think they gave enough. That
but.
They could.
But so we do have Glee this week, and you know, we have some voicemails, we have some emails, we have some tweets. You can tweet us at Gleeful Podcast. We also have a t-shirt. If you've not seen the t-shirt, go to gleefulpodcast.com and you can check out the t-shirt. We've sold a couple. You can pre-order now, and those are going to ship out in a couple weeks when we get them back. But I think everyone digs the design. People seem to dig our design.
It's so cute.
So feel free to share it. It is Brittany, and maybe we'll have to do a contest on who can guess what all the boxes mean. I think that's a contest that would last like 6 minutes.
Come on, that doesn't even count.
Yeah,
that's not a contest. That's like a drinking game. Not even.
True. So yeah, let's do a few voicemails, shall we? First thing we're gonna do is check out. Actually, I'm not really sure why I'm gonna play this voicemail, but we're gonna play it anyway, and then we're gonna discuss. Here we go.
Hi guys, this is listener Jessica from Vancouver, Canada. I've been listening to your podcast forever, pretty much right since the beginning. And I just wanted to share with you guys something that happened to me after I finished listening to the podcast the other day. I went home and I checked Facebook and they had an ad at the side for a concert vibe. So I'm going to be going to that if you guys want me to let you know how it is.
Okay, let's go back to that one more time.
And they had an ad at the side for a concert vibe, so...
What? What's the concert? I don't know. I want to know. Anybody? Anybody got an idea?
Concert by? What did you hear, Ed?
I wasn't sure.
I got nothing. So, listener... We don't know what concert you're going to, but it sounds awesome.
Maybe
because I love
maybe
the concert.
My first assumption is that it's the Glee Tour.
That it's the Glee Tour.
Yeah.
That is a safe assumption.
But I would think that's been sold out by now. I mean, that's been sold out for a while, I thought.
And they probably wouldn't have to advertise it on Facebook.
Probably not.
Hmm.
But there could be others.
You know who probably is? It's what? Probably Matthew Morrison.
See, but if she'd said Matthew Morrison, that's a lot of vowel sounds that we would have been, like, we would have been able to pick up one of those.
I'm hearing vibe. I'm hearing either by or vibe.
I don't
or
know.
Or is it Bonnie Doon? I'm just kidding. I'm just making
Bonnie Doon. That's like the fifth time I've listened to that message, and I still don't know. So, listener,
write us.
Vancouver, Canada, what on earth are we talking about? Because I'm so curious. Let's see. Another voicemail. This is from, I think it's from San Pedro.
Hi, guys. I'm a long-time listener, but first-time caller. And I actually just recently, this past weekend, had, a first season preview for all my friends, or showing for all my friends, getting ready to do the second season so that we can watch the new episodes when they come on next week. But going back and I look and see how mean Quinn was to Finn the whole time that she was pregnant, saying what a loser he was and how he had to pay the hospital bills. Going back to that and seeing all that, it boggles my mind how he could possibly forgive her and choose her over Rachel. Not saying that he should be with Rachel, but just that he would forgive her, and that's just crazy to me. I think that is absolutely crazy that the writers are putting them together. I guess it makes for good TV, but it breaks my heart. All right, keep up the good job, and I really like the podcast. Bye, guys.
Jennifer, did you have an opinion on this topic?
I started gesturing to Josh. It's obvious Finn is not thinking with his head. He's thinking with another part of his body. And he's just, I think he's kind of liking, the attention and having a slightly upper hand. So I think... because when things start to happen, he can always say, "Well, you did this to me," and I don't know. I'm thinking he's a guy and he's enjoying the attention.
Yeah, I think that's pretty valid. I also think that, like us, if you try to put this into human perspective, like us, Finn has totally forgotten how mean she actually was and is remembering, the nice person she became, shall we say. And so he's kind of doing exactly the same thing that I think I'm doing and going, "You're right. I totally forgot how evil she was."
Yeah, the post-hormonal Quinn.
Yeah. Ed, do you ever think back and wonder what Finn is thinking?
No, because You saying that he's going to be like, oh, I have the upper hand. I feel like you're giving him too much credit even with that. This is the kid who thought he got Quinn pregnant in a hot tub. You're giving him too much credit.
True.
That being said, it's just, I don't know. I'm fine with them together. I think it comes down to what Quinn said to Rachel in the most recent episode.
Mm-hmm.
was like, me and Finn are destined for Lima, Ohio. You are not.
Hmm.
I think that's like the difference.
I mean, that definitely shows some motivation for Quinn. I mean, Quinn kind of saying like, look, I'd rather be the queen of Lima.
I mean, it's logical.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, I think Finn has never really gotten fully over Quinn, because when Sam started dating her, he got jealous, and, you know, maybe that was even part of his subconscious motivation, was like, well, here's this new kid coming in, he's all, you know, hot and trouty mouth and great abs and, you know,
that's going to be like a thing that people say about people from now on.
It used to be the bee stung look, and now it's trouty mouth.
Oh, God. They're going to turn it into a compliment, going to turn it around.
So, I mean, maybe like subconsciously, he doesn't want, you know, Sam to come in and kind of, you know, take over his spot. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
you're right. Finn doesn't think that hard. That's why I think it's just kind of, you know, just, you know, he's not thinking with his head.
Yeah, that's a pretty good read of the situation, I think. I would say you have a very good point, so that everyone can drink.
That's the other podcast.
Let's see. No, that's this podcast.
Oh, it is.
Or is that the other podcast?
Yeah,
where
is.
I'm supposed to say that? Oh, well. So, you know, it's an interesting point to definitely bring up. And we'll go ahead and let's see. Oh, on the 19th of April, is that right, Ed, when we are being graced by the music of Glee Presents the Warblers?
That is correct.
That is correct. That same day, we're getting a DVD box set, which is all of the vocal performances from season one in one set.
Just edited down to
DVD? It's like a music video collection. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure where the where the audience is for that. It's $20, which is only $15 less than getting all of those music videos in a box set along with the plot. But, you know, if you wanted to be able to go through.
Attention span theater.
Exactly. I guess it's kind of like that karaoke game that they put out where you just had the vocal performances that you could sing along with. Now you have the exact same thing, just more of them, mm-hmm. and you don't have a pesky controller to have to hold while you do that. Ed, would you ever get like a music video collection of Glee?
I wouldn't be. I think I even requested it at one point.
No.
I was like, it'd be cool if we just had like a way. Well, what I actually said was I wish it was cool on the DVD,
yes,
in the DVD menus to be able to select just to watch a specific performance from that disc.
I remember that.
Yeah, I could buy that. I mean, I think that I would definitely see as a very good special feature.
But to have to buy one on top of the other just seems kind of silly.
But exactly. I don't know. They're in it to make money.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
I don't know if you realize this.
I know. It didn't cost them anything more.
It warned
really?
A lot of people. I just heard the Scooby-Doo Scotty sound effect. Like, really, Shaggy?
Yeah,
I'm shocked that that's all they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But we do have that Glee Music Presents the Warblers coming out on April 19th that I know a lot of people are looking forward to, including...
What's funny about some of these projects, some of these products,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's less... I feel like it's more about the people, the parents who are buying it for the kids than for the kids actually wanting it themselves, you know?
Oh, totally.
Like, it's like, oh, well, they like Glee, therefore they shall like this.
I mean, every year we get, Jennifer and I get some form of Glee merch for Christmas, and we usually already have it, you know, but the people know we like Glee and you know, people go to the store and there's a lot of Glee coverage on the shelf and they think, hey, that seems like a good idea. And we always take it.
They make good stocking stuffers.
I mean, does anyone really play like Twilight Trivial Pursuit? No, but they got it for Christmas because someone knew they liked Twilight and it was at Target. And so.
Oh, I think. No,
that's why, although money is impersonal, it's quite logical.
Fizz?
Nothing. Sorry, okay. I lost it.
Well, you know, we do have this Warblers album coming out, and I think as promotion for it, Ultimate Gleeks has been releasing a series of songs by John Hall, who is one of the Warblers. As far as I can tell, these appear to be demos. I haven't found a lot of details on what they actually are, but we'll go ahead and listen to one of them. This is John Hall from the Warblers performing Firefly.
You would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies lit up the world as I fell asleep. 'Cause they fill the open air and leave teardrops everywhere. You think me rude, but I would just stand and stare.
I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly. It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep.
'Cause everything is never as it seems. 'Cause I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they try to teach me how to dance.
So they have that. You can find these all online if you follow Ultimate Gleeks on Twitter, too. They've been posting them. But yeah, they have Fireflies. They have Firework, some kind of a mashup. I don't know. And a song called Come On Get Higher, which is pretty cool. It is John Hall appears to be the session singer that's putting these tracks down, from what I can tell. He's a warbler. Uh-huh. Someone has more details on how that all that stuff is. It's pretty deep. But yeah, they sound pretty. They're good. Jennifer, I know. Oh, Ed, what were you saying?
Oh, sorry. Continue. Just
go,
continue.
Ed.
Okay, I sent you a YouTube video for Night of Neglect, and I was on, oh, no, they didn't now. So I'm going to warn you. I'm going to warn you, spoiler freaks. We're afraid of spoilers. Don't go, oh, no, they didn't, because I just read something.
Oh,
and,
oh really?
And it has to do with the prom episode.
Oh.
And we so excited.
What is pretty funny that the listeners on our Facebook page have been started posting things where they're like, hey, I don't want to be spoilery, so I won't say what this article's about, but click here. And then there were a series of comments on that article where people are like, I'm so happy that person, like, everyone's being really careful not to be spoilery. It's pretty awesome. I know there are places where you can be incredibly spoilery, and that's awesome. But it's hilarious that people are being so nice about it in our, you know, small group.
Our Gleavers.
Ed?
I don't know. I just love spoilers so much. Maybe is that my one of my fundamental issues? Maybe.
I think you're just wildly impatient, Ed.
I know. I know. I'm very patient. It's just knowing the songs they sing doesn't change the plot. So there's a difference.
Well, yeah. I mean, I admit that Jennifer and I are crazy anti-spoiler. Like, we're hardcore.
Which is kind of ridiculous, yes. You are kind of ridiculous. I'm glad you see this.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to this Night of Neglect promo that Ed just sent over.
Play Night of Neglect promo.
Next Tuesday, all new Glee is back and broke.
We need $5,000 to pay for our trip to Nationals.
Sounds like Glee needs a fundraiser.
A Night of Neglect.
Huh?
We're only going to do songs by neglected artists.
Oh, so you mean like me.
But someone's out to stop this benefit concert. Sue and her super villains.
You are the honey badger, nature's most ferocious animal.
I'm also an assistant manager.
You don't want to miss Glee's return. All new next Tuesday.
Stinky Poo!
On Fox.
That was a little Sandy there at the end. A little Stephen Tobolowsky. I'm going to go ahead and say friend of the show.
friend of the show.
I think that's safe to say.
What, so songs by neglected artists, like, that's kind of hilarious. What do we think is going to come of that?
I mean, neglected is such a subjective thing. You know?
I got a list a mile long. Don't even. This is what I do.
You're going to go Meatloaf.
Well, am I going to go? Is Meatloaf sufficiently neglected? I don't know. He almost gets more praise than he deserves for Bad Outta Hell. But Neglected Artist, that's a really interesting thing to bring up. I wonder how closely this is going to fall into their, what was the Guilty Pleasure Week when they did Run, Joey, Run?
That wasn't.
Or that was like rescuing.
Wasn't that duets?
Was that duets?
No, that wasn't duets. That wasn't.
Oh
duets.
No, duets was the other one. It was.
I know what it is. Wow. Bad reputation.
Bad reputation. Thank you. That's what I meant.
Oh, songs that had bad. Okay. Got
sorry,
it.
I have a grasshopper just crawled down my throat.
Since it's happening at this moment,
yes,
that's the only reason I'm bringing it up. Reinhardt's performing Team Underdog Idol Victory, just so you know. So vote for Haley, Team Ed.
Oh,
vote Haley.
Okay. Let's go ahead.
Wrong podcast.
Yeah.
It's not the wrong podcast because they are people who like music, and there has to be some crossover.
Unfortunately, Ed, by the time this show, anyone hears this show, it's going to be too late to vote on
it. It won't matter because next week she'll still be around and they can vote for her.
Well, let's talk about actually on topic.
Again, I kinda wanna be more than friends. So take it easy on me, I'm afraid you're never satisfied.
Here we go again, we're sick like animals, we play pretend. You're just a cannibal and I'm afraid I won't get out alive.
No, I won't sleep tonight.
So we're talking a little bit about Darren Criss and Blame this week, and definitely the character that has had a certain violent history on Gleeful, a certain passionate history on Gleeful, shall we say,
yes.
To recount the story for new listeners. We started getting torrents of email from people saying, I'm so excited that Darren Criss is going to be on Glee, and everyone talking about Darren Criss being on Glee. And this was at the time when everyone was saying that they were going to be on Glee. And, you know, everyone from
Gwyneth Paltrow to John Stamos.
We were talking back when, like, the Javier Bardem was supposedly going to be on Glee. Like, and the woman who won Britain's Got Talent was supposedly going to be on Glee.
Oh, yeah, Susan Boyle was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I thought she's supposed to be on this upcoming episode, I thought.
Well, I have not seen her on the show yet. But anyway, so I said that I didn't think Darren was actually going to be on Glee, that it was just a campaign, that this kind of unknown kid was trying to start a campaign to be on the show by telling people he was going to be on the show, and then it was catching on. And obviously, I was wrong. And I got a torrent of email explaining to me that I was wrong, which, arguably, I deserved.
No, not arguably, definitely. you're such, like, a pessimist.
I'm a skeptic.
Well, a good dose of skepticism in the morning is good, but after you get past that, you need, like, Bring joy to your life.
Okay, well, Ed, go ahead and tell us how do you feel having Darren on the show, and what do you really think he's brought to the ensemble that is Glee?
Well, Darren has brought Rachel was getting a lot of solos, and now she's not getting so many solos, but it seems like it's because it's Blaine and the Pips are getting this other solos that she would be getting otherwise. I don't know. He's an interesting character. I don't know if he really takes the plot anywhere. He's kind of pushed Kurt in a direction, and we were so Kurt heavy, especially at the beginning of season two, that if Blaine wasn't there at this point, I would be like, oh my god, when is this gonna finally happen? Like, something gonna finally change in his life? I don't know. I guess if they would have weren't so crazy pushing on the Kurt, I guess he wouldn't really be necessary. But He's a lot of fun. And that can't be discounted.
Well, I like what you say there about, because I'm not going to say that you have a good point. I like what you say there, that he doesn't really move the plot along that far. I mean, at the end of the day, Kurt was going to get these. I mean, it feels like Kurt was going this way anyway. And the Blaine character just kind of showed up to kind of help shuffle Kurt along. Blaine has never really been a focus of the show, which is kind of odd considering how many
songs he's got. I know. I was gonna do an Excel chart. I still intend to do this of how many solos per character people have gotten this season. And I can guarantee you that Darren would have an improportionate amount of songs versus plot line. Like I would almost argue that Tina's had more plot, but definitely severely less solos. Severely less solos.
Interesting.
Well, Ed, when that intern is done finding that clip of Emma, maybe that intern can
finish the spreadsheet for you. I need a personal assistant. If anyone's willing to work for $1 a week right now, I am willing to pay.
You know
that.
It reminds me of in Seinfeld when Kramer hired an intern to manage his business. But
Jennifer, how do you feel about having Blaine on the show?
You know what? I like him, and again, like, I have really no complaints about who he is or what he does. It is a little frustrating at times that, you know, all these other characters that we have been following and really invested in over the last year and a half, and they lose so much time to him when he's performing these songs. But that said, I mean, I think it was vital to being the touchstone, the voice for Kurt that he needed. Like, here he finally had a peer who he could identify with and who he could not only just commiserate with, but he could learn from and grow from. So, like, I think it was essential to happen, you know, because it was so Kurt-centric for a while. And it was like, oh, you know, and after a while, it was just like, oh, my, okay, enough, you know, like, to the point of whining almost. But now he has somebody that, you know, is there and has been through it and has said, hey, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Or, hey, get over it. So I think that was essential.
It was great.
I mean, he's enjoyable to watch.
Exactly. You know, that's kind of the paradox of Blaine as a character and Darren Criss on the show, quite honestly, is that Blaine really isn't that interesting. He's adorable and he's very, you know, he's fun to watch sing and dance. But within the, like, plot that makes television interesting, Blaine is not very interesting. We don't really know anything about him. He's too perfect all the time.
He could be Kurt's imaginary friend, for all
exactly.
we know.
Exactly. He never talks to anyone else.
Dalton Academy
no, what do you mean?
Doesn't
Rachel
exist.
Perry? Hello?
Well, no, it's a joke. Before that, yeah. I'm joking. I'm like, you know, what if it was just an imaginary friend and Kurt's not really at Dalton Academy. He's actually in an insane asylum or something. Like, it's just this. I'm just kidding.
I've made you watch way too many of my movies.
I've watched way too many horror and psychological thrillers in my time.
But, I mean, yeah, that's the problem, is that as boring as Blaine is as a character, Darren Criss is so captivating as a performer that Blaine has gotten this disproportionate amount of attention on the show. And I mean, it's a very love-hate thing, you know, because as soon as Darren starts singing, it did become a punchline to the show to the point where the show made the joke, you know, that even the show was saying it's pretty funny how often Blaine performs and yet has so little to do with anything else. And it became a punchline, but then 30 seconds into the song, you're always back going, oh, wait, but we do love when he sings and dances,
it's
and
so
you kind
much
of
fun.
Forget that.
Yeah. Well,
so
it's fun. He's fun. You have a good point, but... No, I'm just kidding.
Drink!
He's so much fun. And then and the songs are interesting, what he does, and I don't know. If he went away, if he just, like, disappeared... It wouldn't be the biggest loss, but it would be kind of sad. Sometimes just having fun and having a strong gay role model out there is just maybe that's just what he is.
I mean, I think that's exactly what he is. Mm-hmm. I think he was giving the counterpoint to Kurt's experience. is. And I think we kind of needed that after a while. I mean, it was hard to see Kurt be downtrodden all the time. It was, I don't think, I kind of gave up hope that the Kurt character was going to be able to, you know, lift himself up by his bootstraps and be strong on his own. And Blaine was kind of a voice of the other side of this experience, the kind of self-aware, self-assured, you know, you can be who you are and, you know, and you'll become accepted in the right environment if you do so. To just have Kurt, like, show up at Dalton and mm-hmm. just be gay and everyone immediately accepts him and it's not a big deal, I don't know. That I think that would have felt a little hollow without being able to have, you know, the Blaine character to walk in and be like, it's okay to you know, it. This is all right. It's okay to be loved. It's okay to be accepted.
Which, okay, so now, which has me thinking, which, you know, is a very good point. And again, I think he's like a really good grounding force for Kurt. But, you know, if he's so confident and so self-assured and perfect in all these ways, how did he not know, like, how to handle the gap situation?
That never played. That always felt silly to me.
And he even himself said he never had a boyfriend, so.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but, I mean,
well, maybe he just seems confident and self-assured. There's totally a disconnect between actually being confident and seeming confident. So, he's a strong, seemingly confident
right.
model, and, I guess.
And the thing is, it's like, in terms of the show, he just needs to be confident in Kurt's eyes. So that's all. I mean, and that's what.
Yeah,
it's really the you know, the mentor role that he needed to play for Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, we keep coming back to, at the end of the day, like, he's, you know, he's a tool character. He's not a tool.
Yeah, but
he's a tool character. He's not really there.
A utility.
He's a utility. He's there to make Kurt realize something about himself and then go away. He's, you know, he's the openly gay Karofsky. He's just there to show a different side of Kurt's personality so that Kurt can go through certain things and we can go through him with that. So, and that's cool. It just, you know, definitely makes us wonder about the amount of attention that the character gets. But the character is a fan favorite, and girls, I mean, people love him. And, you know, and he's played by Darren Criss, who had a huge following before he even showed up at
and they Glee. Have all personally emailed Josh.
They have. And,
Understandably so.
And but he had a huge following from before, being one of the founding members of Team Starkid, and for doing a Harry Potter musical and a Harry Potter sequel, to which I will turn to Jennifer, because Jennifer has watched a Harry Potter musical.
I watched most of it.
So tell us a little about a Harry Potter musical.
It's hysterical. It is. I haven't finished it because each scene, I think the first act has 11 or 14 scenes, and they're all broken down to 3 to 4 or 6 minute clips. So, and it's all just shot on camcorder. And this was done, I believe, at their university. And it's hysterical because what they've done is, from what I can tell, is mashed together the first few books of Harry Potter and created. It's not really a montage or like a fast forward through all the stories, because they take certain liberties and they expand on certain things that you always wondered about, and they're very creative and very fun with it, but also very respectful.
Did you say composite?
A composite, yeah. Interesting. So it was just a lot of fun. And the thing that amazed me is when I had heard that he had done this, I had only seen images of him, you know, as Potter. And there's so many great people in this show. It's hysterical.
Oh, you mean the surrounding cast?
Oh, the surrounding cast. I mean, there has to be at least 20, 25 people in the cast.
Wow.
I mean, probably 10 main characters, reoccurring characters. but it was a lot of fun. The songs are, I'd say they're up there with, you know, Big Ass Heart and Trouty Mouth.
Okay.
As far as caliber of writing.
Did you have a favorite song?
But they're very
song?
Fun. I don't remember the songs that well. But it was just a lot of fun, and he's adorable. He has so much charm and charisma, and he definitely needs to be on the stage or on the screen somewhere.
Well, let's, you know, on that note, let's go ahead and randomly select. This is Hey Dragon from A Very Potter Musical with Darren Criss.
Oh, that was a really cute scene. As I talk away from my microphone. It's very cute.
Hey Dragon, you don't gotta do this. Let's reevaluate our options, throw away our old presumptions, cause really, we don't wanna go through this. I'm really not that special. The boy who lived is only flesh and bone. The truth is, in the end, I'm pretty useless without friends. In fact, I'm alone, just like now. Spend my time at school trying.
It's actually kind of similar to Human that we'll talk about in a second.
It reminds you of Albie the Racist Dragon.
Aww.
Albie the Racist Dragon. You should all look, if you have not had the joy of Albie the Racist Dragon, it's a YouTube and you need to do it.
Okay.
I will put that on my list.
So we have a bit of Darren Criss. He's from San Francisco, California. His mother, a native of Cebu, the Philippines, is Filipina, and his father is of Irish descent.
Vaguely Eurasian. Okay.
What up, Jenny Fizzle? Must be the sweet eyes. Jennifer says it must be the sweet eyes. He got a degree from the University of Michigan. Go Blue. His brother is in Freelance Wales, which I'm not a big fan of, but I hear they're very well liked by some. Criss is a classically
This is a PC answer. You're like, I hear they are well liked by
I don't want to. Yeah, I mean, if I didn't know like that the topic of our conversation's brother was in the band, I'd be like, yeah, they're crappy. But I know they have a huge following, so there's something to be said for that. He's a classically trained violinist who began playing at the age of 5. Love to see that come out on the show.
Seriously.
Kind of funny. He later taught himself guitar, piano, cello, mandolin, and drums.
Slacker.
And he made his professional stage debut at the age of 10 in 42nd Street Moon's 1997 production of Fanny. Boom. That's all I got about that. Man, I mean, his main kind of, you know, things that people know him for, obviously Glee, his Harry Potter musical stuff. His team Star Kid has a couple productions, but mainly people just know the Harry Potter musical. And then, of course, you know, I guess he does a voice of a character on Life of Leopold, a Funny or Die web series. So that's exciting. But he did release an EP called Human that we all took a listen to. Does anybody have a favorite song they'd like us to play from Human, Jennifer?
Probably Human.
You going for Human? No, that's where I was headed to. Jennifer, do you have a preference?
That's fine.
Okay, let's go. We're like, oh.
I like Sammy too, but, you know.
Let's go. Well, we'll
I
go
do like that. That'd be Human. My next choice.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they go in orders.
There we go. We'll just let it play through.
It's intentional.
Here's a bit of Human off of Darren Criss's EP, Human. Here we go.
But believe me, I'm not helpless. I just need someone to love. So my situation's rough, but that just makes me a dumb human like you. I feel like a shortstop along third base. I may just help you, but I still don't like your face. But believe me, I'm not hostile. I just want to hear you laugh when I'm sarcastic like that. And that just makes me a dumb human like you.
So Fizz, how did you feel about Darren Criss's record? I think you had a very apt description for it earlier today.
It was very reminiscent of stuff I used to listen to in college. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go out and get some Boone's Farm, then we're gonna go to the beach and watch the sunrise and skip classes. But I like it. I mean, it's very nice, really, you know, nice singer songwriter. It's, you know, it's a lot smarter than some of the more, you know, singer-songwriter stuff that I've heard out there. He's a great musician. He's obviously a great singer. He can sing, pop. He can sing, you know, this kind of soft pop stuff. But yeah, it was very nice, very mellow.
It is. It's very mellow. It's obvious, you know. It's obvious that he seems to be the only person playing on it. Just his guitar. He's an outstanding guitarist for one. He has a very nice voice. I didn't really connect to any of the songs too much. I think the last one, Not Alone, was probably the one that I was kind of the most like connected to. But yeah, you know, he's trying a lot of stuff, and for an EP, it's a pretty solid introduction to what he can do. Reminds me a lot of like the really early bootleg Jason Mraz EPs.
Yeah, totally.
Not so much, you know, the Jason Mraz of today, but like the really early Jason Mraz EPs when he was more stoned, and even some like early Ben Folds 5 kind of reminds me of that, where like the emotion is more important than hitting all the notes exactly right, and some moments like that. Ed, how did you feel about Darren Criss's Human EP?
Well, I approached when I was received the EP today, and I was kind of on a short time because I had vocal lessons, and then I had to do this, and then I have some little time in between. So I approach it like a record exec person would, listen to 30 seconds of each song, get a feel of it. And what I will say, compared to Mark Salling's, compared to even Matthew Morrison, and even in his new release with Somewhere Over the Rainbow featuring Gwyneth Paltrow on iTunes this past Tuesday, what I felt was definitely the potential. Like there was some bite to his lyrics. I heard some good imagery, and there was definitely like there was something there, but it lacked any production value to like take it to the next level. So in comparison to other people like Mark Salling and Matthew Morrison, like I see the artist there, and the potential is definitely there. So yeah, that's how I feel. The potential is there. It isn't great, but it isn't perfect. But definitely one of the better releases that I've heard from these Glee contestants.
Well, it's definitely a bedroom recording. I mean, it's obvious that he did it all himself. And unfortunately, I don't think that the vocal power or the songwriting is really enough to kind of over, you know, where some production, like you're right, some production value would kind of compensate for some of the failings in, you know, the songwriting and the musicianship. But you know, yeah, it's a nice it definitely shows a lot more promise than some of the other things we listed.
Exactly,
to
yeah, like I call them Glee contestants. I've been watching from the title. But it does show a lot of promise. Like you're watching these kids on the Idol stage who are being introduced to the world, 26 million viewers, whatever, I don't know what the number is anymore, but they have very little to no idea to create any music that's actually sellable in the world today, whereas with Darren Criss's EP, it's like, this shows potential for real. Yeah. So, and I got that from like 2.5 minutes of just like flipping through it, so... So if I could tell that, then it's true.
Well, we did get one viewpoint on this from a listener, and let's give a listen to that.
Hi, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is David from Michigan. I'm long-time caller. I mean, long-time listener, first-time caller. Wow.
Long-time caller.
And I just listened or finished listening to Cat Diary Enthusiast, and I was calling because I just purchased earlier today on iTunes Darren Criss's EP Human, because I know you're discussing him next week, and I listened to it 2 times in a row and then called you because I had nothing else to do today or right now, and so yeah, it's really like I hate to say easy listening. Well, it is easy to listen to because he's very talented, which sometimes on the show we just get one kind of tone from his voice, but I was surprised by his range. He goes all up into falsetto sometimes, and he's a master on the guitar, and the only experience I had with him before he was on Glee was when I heard he was going to be on Glee. I watched his YouTube videos of him playing Disney songs like Reflection from Mulan and I'll Make a Man Out of You and then Belle and Part of Your World, and that kid, even though he's 4 years old can play that guitar like no one's business. Oh, look, there's a bus going by. I'm kind of like you with the sirens.
Aww.
And so, yeah, I love the show, and I wanted to, you know, weigh in on Darren because I think that he's great, basically. Everyone have a great day. Can't wait for the show. Bye.
Yeah, there are a series of YouTube videos where he performed covers of Disney songs.
Yes.
That you can find. They're reasonably charming. Some are better than others, but yeah, it is pretty funny, and you can check those out. They're worth a look. I asked the listeners for their favorite Darren Criss Blaine moments, and got a couple great tweets on that. But first, Megabelful. I don't know how to pronounce your Twitter name, but she says, "Gleeful podcast, proceed recording the next show with caution. Remember the last time Josh said something negative about Darren Criss. Ha ha. Ha ha." Moving on. But yeah, AVPM Gleek Darren said Blackbird was his favorite Blaine moment. Blaine's look of love and all the weird faces he makes while performing. So that was kind of neat. Eddie Love 123 said Blaine when he woke up at Kurt's house and when Blaine told Kurt he won by being with each other after sectionals. Or they won by being each other. That was very sweet. Let's see. Joey's Baby 956. Everybody's going to say the Klain kiss. I say him kissing after kissing Rachel. And he said, "I'm gay." Thought that was pretty funny. That was pretty great. And I think a lot of people would come back to the Klain kiss. Salsagasm had the same moment. I'm 100% gay. Most people seem to be gravitating, though, towards his musical performances. I think that's what we remember, you know, about him. People love his musical performances.
Well, because as we discussed, he wasn't a plot mover, but he's a plot funner.
Entertainer. Yes.
But my favorite Darren Criss moment is when Darren Criss ordered both his and Kurt's drinks at the Starbucks queue. I was like, aww. he knows their drinks. Aww. Even though it was like a caramel drip, I'm like, whatever. You could be more original, but whatever. if anyone still has the melon syrup they used to sell at Starbucks, feel free to call me and offer me it.
Yes. Well, you know how to find him, edwardgiordano@gmail.com.
I know, right? I'm like, well, for real though, because they're like. 3 years ago, they stopped selling the melon syrup, and I loved the melon syrup. Now it's gone.
Miss Katie says her favorite Blaine moment is when all the girls were going crazy for him, and he took their numbers and then told them he was gay. Jennifer, do you have a favorite Blaine moment on the show?
I think I liked the party at Rachel's house.
Oh, that was a fun time.
It was just really fun to see a scene with everybody in it, you know? So, like, when he was playing Spin the Bottle and, like, you know, I'm singing with Rachel. It was kind of like, okay, finally, you're blending these worlds together. They don't have to exist, you know, independently. And, you know, you get two amazing singers together. So.
That was pretty cool. That was a great...
It was fun, and it was fun to see them, you know, out of uniform.
Ed, do you have a favorite Glee, or I'm sorry, a favorite Darren Criss Blaine moment? Oh, Jennifer?
I know, I was going to joke and say my favorite Blaine moment was seeing him at the Pantages. Oh. And trying to discreetly take pictures of him.
Ed, do you have a favorite Blaine moment?
When he bought the Starbucks drinks, remember?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You already did your favorite Blaine moment. You know, I'd have to... I really want to say one that's not a song, but I think When I Get You Alone is probably my favorite Blaine moment. I think it was just one of the better dance numbers we've had on the show, one of the more fun pieces. And, you know, it was kind of a... There was a story to it. You know, it wasn't just Blaine singing. A lot of times when Blaine has his songs like Animal or, you know, just some of the other performances, it's just like the plot stops for a couple minutes. Like Baby's Cold Outside. The plot stops for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Baby's Cold Outside. That was a cute moment, though. It was cute.
Oh, it was very cute, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But at least, like, When I Get You Alone, there was all of the things that we like about Blaine. It was the singing, the dancing, and there was actually some character going on. And so I respect that.
And it's kind of funny because I mentioned the, you know, the song you sang with Rachel. I don't even remember what they sang.
Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
That's it. Okay. Because it wasn't about that. It was just about the whole scene with everybody together and
going into
his world.
What are you talking about?
When Darren and
Rachel sang together and they sang Don't You Want Me, Baby by the Human League.
Oh. John and Kiki D.
It's a Human League.
Good catch.
So, yeah, I mean, now I remember it. But it was just more the scene, you know. There needs to be more crossover.
That whole scene was just fun. Like as it was described on the in the previews, like the Rachel Berry extravaganza. I was like, that's totally just what it was. That's just what it was. And it was fantastical.
Yeah, and even her hideous dress couldn't ruin the moment for me.
Yes. Oh, the dress we still talk about all these weeks later.
So hideous.
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to one more Darren Criss song before we go. Do we have a request? I was going to go with Bills, Bills, Bills. Anybody have a better idea?
That's fine.
All right.
I mean, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yes. Well, here's a bit of Bills.
Can you name my automobiles? You were so right. They Destiny's Child is so inventive with those English words.
They do like to make up words.
At first we started out real cool, taking me places I ain't never been. But now you're getting comfortable and doing those things you did no more. You're slowly making me pay for things your money should be getting. And now you ask to use my car. Driving all day and don't fill up the tank. And you have the audacity to even come and step to me. Ask to hold some money from me until you get your check next week. You trifling, good for nothing type of brother. Silly me, or haven't I found another? A baller, when times get hard I need someone to help me out. Instead of a scrub like you who don't know what I'm ever about.
Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? Do you pay my automobile?
No, that was not a sound effect in the song. That was our neighbors.
Yay!
So that's about it for us, Darren Criss, Blaine. And if you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check the website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. And I know it used to be kind of hard to leave comments on the website, but it's not anymore. So feel free to jump on there and comment on the episodes and anything else you want to say, unless you want to advertise penis pills, in which please stop posting on the forum, because I have to delete those. So you can also find us on Facebook at Gleeful Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast. If you'd like to get the Gleeful Podcast t-shirt, you can also get that on the website. Check it out. It's super, super cool. And we're taking pre-orders on that right now. Ed, would you like to... Oh, I'm sorry.
Nothing.
Oh, would
nothing.
You, Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
You know, I would love to, as I had it open and I went away and now it's not open. Okay. So, stalling. Okay. Darn it, that's not right. I was shocked that you actually went with my episode title for the last one. Anyways, back to where I was. Five Worth a Lifetime, Sproutly. I know you reviewed multiple times, but thank you anyways. Lee Rao, Mandy Bob, Hucklesberg, and BK Ninja, TYVM for the reviews. So, yeah, review us, continue to review us. It's always exciting and stuff like that. Even if you re-review Sproutly, there's a whole bunch of people that re-review all the time. I notice.
Well, yes, we definitely appreciate that. You can follow us on Twitter, which also helps us kind of get the word out and prove to the universe that Gleeful Podcast rocks. You can also go to our fan page. It's pretty cool. You can find that. There's a link to that on our Twitter somewhere. But thank you so much for joining us for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh Jennett. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Oh, shutting down all over the world except when the monsoon strikes. Wow. Totally was voting for Haley Reinhardt at that moment. And I was like, oh, yeah, Josh, Jen, yeah, totally. Oh, yes.
We'll talk to everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
When times get hard and he's wanting to help me out, instead of a scrub like you don't know what a mess about.
Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my bills?
Yay, Clint, yay! Yay, Clint, yay!